afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Charles Mazur and I represent the appellant, Tony Fredrickson. The directive that we received from the court was to deal with the issue of not the record, and not only does the record not contain it, there is no complaint to modify that was allegedly tried and which was the basis for our appeal. Mr. Truitt and I tried to get Mr. Enns to stay because he had this case from my side before. We were going to blame him, but we can't do that. So, but all that aside.
So, do you agree that our, in our directive, that we accurately set forth the current condition of the record?
Absolutely. I did a review of that. I came in after the, no excuses, but I came in after the fact. Mm-hmm. And I usually I would have cited the complaint to modify in the transcript. I didn't. I don't know why, but I didn't, because I was more concerned with what actually took place at trial. Mm-hmm. But no, there's no complaint to
so
modify.
So where does that leave us?
Well, I think Mr. Truitt and I have discussed this to some degree, and I will leave that to him. But as a general rule, the district court probably didn't have jurisdiction to do what they did.
And if the district court didn't have jurisdiction, then we don't have jurisdiction.
Exactly right. And it's unfortunate because this is a pretty complicated case. You know, there's been numerous filings back and forth and peripheral issues that have entered into this. And Mr. Truitt and I would like to get this matter resolved once and for all, but I'm not so sure we can under these circumstances, except probably to start over. Go back and start it over and get it properly filed. We had problems once before with this too, that an appeal had gone up and it went back down because there wasn't a proper finding by the court. So yeah. I hate to say that, but I couldn't find the complaint either, and and I'm not so sure that there's any law that gives us any latitude in that.
There's a statute, I can't think of the number off the top of my head, but I don't know that this case falls under it. It came to my mind as I was looking this over. But you know, if you had filed a contempt action to enforce parenting time, right, to address some parenting time issues, then the court, as long as everybody has had proper notification, so due process is satisfied, can modify an existing
sure.
order. But I don't know if this slots into that statute or not, because I don't think this was, it was brought as an ex parte application, right?
Correct. And then a continuation of that ex parte.
Yeah, temporary.
Yeah. So it was sort of like the ex parte application became the operating document that
yes.
everybody proceeded on thereafter.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if the ex parte application fits into the statute.
I be honest with you, Your Honor, I have not looked at that statute. When I got the directive from the court, I simply looked at the record and I couldn't find anything that I could refute here this afternoon. So I'm not reserving any rebuttal time. I assume the court doesn't want to go into the actual arguments on the briefs.
You're here if you would like to. You
well,
certainly may, or
well,
you don't have to.
Well,
in case we miraculously find something
yeah,
to say in the
never
case.
Know.
Well,
we hate to send it back as well, just from a judicial economy,
well,
but
we're
troubled.
I think my brief is pretty self-explanatory. It's short and sweet. Our main thrust was we didn't think the court put enough stock in the testimony of the minor child. We had a lot of testimony, and as my brief indicated, a lot of mud was thrown back and forth, one side and the other. But we thought, the testimony is clear that the child is very clear that he's more comfortable with his father. They do more things together. And there's no indication anywhere in the record, for that matter, that either party is unfit. So it would come down to the best interest of the child. We believe that the best interest, based on what the child has said, would be to be placed with father.
And how old was the child at the time of testimony? Can you remind me?
Ten or twelve.
I think he was 11.
Uh-huh.
think he was 11. So, and it was done in an appropriate manner. The court reporter and the two attorneys and the child, neither parent was in the courtroom.
I think that Derek was born in February of 2006, I believe the record indicated. Okay. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. Yeah, because he would be 13 now, so that would make him, I think, 11, maybe 12 at the time of trial. So, and I think if the court reviews the record, I think he was pretty articulate in his testimony.
Of course, that's just one factor, right?
Exactly. And the court has to weigh the rest of the testimony. And again, it's de novo on the record, so that's all before the court. So, if there are any questions, as I said, I'm not going to reserve any rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Truel, good afternoon.
I don't think you've never waived oral argument. You never have.
Members of the court, my name is James Truel. I'm the attorney for the defendant appellee. Normally, I introduce it may please the court, but I don't think anything about this case is pleasing to either the parties, the court, or the trial court. If my embarrassment could scream, we'd all be bleeding from the ears and the windows would chatter. But I think what we have to do is figure out where the solution is. I think there's two alternatives. One, we ignore it. Why? Because if this hadn't been appealed, they'd be following this order. No one would have caught it.
But we can't, an appellate court cannot create jurisdiction where jurisdiction did not
I understand
exist.
That. But if you ignore it, we follow through.
What if you dismiss the appeal?
If you dismiss the appeal and just dismiss it, rely on leaving the court's decision down below, then we're right where we want to be. The custody has been determined. The child support has been ordered.
But what if they won't agree to waive the appeal?
Then we end up with some other alternatives here. If we continue with it, the appellant obviously has the ability to seek modification later on, too. If we don't, the other alternative is, of course, to literally throw it all back, saying you don't have jurisdiction, the trial court didn't have jurisdiction, and vacating the order of the court altogether. What does that do? It puts the parties back into that battle that they've been in from the time this all started, way back before even Mr. Mazur and I got involved.
Does that mean the temporary order would still be in place?
I think the temporary order would still be in place. Right. The child support modification would be in place, and we'd go back now fighting over custody of this child. That puts that child back into the limbo of where am I going to be? And that's not exactly good for the child. It's also not good for two parents who already don't get along to have to do battle once again. And it takes up the court's time. The trial court proceeded, as did we, based upon the fact that we assumed we had a complaint to modify. It was based upon the allegations of the application for our ex parte order. And everybody proceeded under that. The appellant voluntarily participated and was actively involved. The trial court was actively involved. And it's as if we had done it right.
Mm-hmm. And there was a day where it was okay because the statute didn't require filing the complaint to modify.
That's right.
Right?
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
Back when
okay
our hair was not
that
gray.
Well, some of our hair.
Now, yeah, me in particular, I guess, I'm probably the oldest one here.
But the question, you know, I keep toying with this too, because we really are trying to work hard to preserve this, to save you all the trouble. But, you know, the whole idea that the application for an ex parte order, is there any way to construe that as the operative pleading that would, in essence, substitute for a complaint to modify? What do you think?
Well,
can I just interject?
Certainly.
Except there was no service of process.
But there's a voluntary appearance.
But there's a voluntary appearance of participation.
You're saying by, okay.
Yeah.
So the answer, my reaction to that is that if I had changed that caption.
Right.
To say complaint and application for ex parte order.
Right.
Wouldn't we be here?
We wouldn't be talking about this, right?
We wouldn't have that question.
Right.
And so it's form over substance.
Right.
And our argument, my argument in part is that we did it as if we were following the form because we followed the substance of presenting a case to the court.
Well, we do have law that allows us to look to the body of the pleading as opposed to the title. So that's what you're arguing now.
That's basically what we're asking you to do, because that's what we did.
Although the trial court noted in February of 17 that there had been no complaint in proof of service or voluntary appearance filed subsequent to the filing of the ex parte application.
Correct.
So the court noted it at one point.
The court noted it once, but we continued to have pretrial conferences as if it had been. We continued with the process. A new judge and a couple of gray-haired men continued to follow through as if we were doing it with the complaint, with the answer, everything.
Totally get it.
Yeah. Now, in response to the appeal, our position, of course, is the trial judge observed all the witnesses. He heard all the facts. The facts are very clear. He made a determination of where to place the credibility, and as the appellate court has traditionally done, the judges, the observer of the trial facts, are not going to disturb the decision of the trial judge unless it's clearly wrong or contrary to law. We don't see anything clearly wrong with the judge's decision of his custody, nor is there anything contrary to law. That's a simple argument.
Would it necessarily require a complete new trial? I suppose parties could stipulate to try.
There's the problem. We would have to stipulate that we just reintroduce all the evidence.
He's trying to help here.
And I don't know, based upon how these two parties play with each other, that would happen. The attorneys can get along and do that, but whether or not the parties would allow us to is the unknown.
Right. Just speculating.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate your candor today in dealing with this issue.
Yeah,
we apologize that we noted it and had to bring it to your attention, but it is.
Yeah,
what it is.
Needless to say, I got that and I said, "Oh my God!" And I immediately went to the record, and the record's clear; it's not there.
At least there's not anything titled that.
Yes, nothing titled that way. That's right. All right, that's all I have.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. Do you still wish to waive your rebuttal?
The issue of custody, no matter what happens today.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, do you want 10 days to make a determination? Because otherwise, you know, we have to continue working on this and decide it.
I would ask for the 10 days because I think it's been a year and a half that we've tried to do better.
So what you're requesting, and let me see if I can word this in terms of an agreement, that we hold off submitting the case for 10 days from today's date.
That would be perfect.
To give an opportunity for the appellant to determine whether he wants to dismiss the appeal.
Yes.
Now, do you want additional time? Well, I guess you're
no.
Too late to cross
this
appeal,
this
so
way.
You're done.
We would have no objection to a dismissal.
So that would be till May 24th, Friday, May 24th.
That'd be fine.
We'll do that. And will you communicate one way or the other with the clerk's office, send a letter to the clerk's office?
Just by letter?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, unless you're going to dismiss, you want to file a motion.
Well, yes, if you're going to dismiss, then you can just
file a motion.
Yeah.
And that it's stipulated.
Okay. Yeah, that's all we would need. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your appearance. You are excused. It's not submitted for 10 days. Very good.